Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about the three powers of the tongue in a sermon from 2014. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org. bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, the three powers of the tongue.
I was preaching down in, I think it was Arkansas, and church was in quite a bit of tension, and thank the Lord there's not that here. And you could kind of sense an atmosphere that there, like I said this morning, you have an atmosphere that comes from attitudes, and attitudes come from relationship to authority. And I could sense that something wasn't right, so I thought, I'm going to preach a message. And I got up and said, someone is going to destroy this work, and is going to split this church. I'm going to name the member, and he's here tonight. And boy, it got quiet. And I said, I don't want to do this. I'd rather just preach on something nice. But I feel a must to name the member. And then I had them all turn to James chapter 3. And it says, behold, the tongue is a little member. And I said, there he is. I named him, and he's in every one of your mouths. Like that, people started breathing again, and the tongue, and people were starting to duck already, and but you know, the potential of what we have in our mouth has the potential to destroy any good relationship. Many husbands and wives have been deeply hurt by cutting words. Satan's first use of words, of language, other than God talking to Adam, was Satan using words to question the goodness of God to Adam and Eve. Hath God said? And so those words become very, very damaging. Let's turn to James chapter 3. And this is going to be a very simple thing for us, and it'd be a good checklist. I know what God does to me. The times of my deepest conviction are in my personal reading. Many times in that personal reading, it is something in relationship to words or something in relationship to my tongue. And that is something that has to be kept in check and under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Remember, I was sitting in Los Angeles airport reading my Bible, waiting for a pastor to come pick me up. And a man came by, saw me reading my Bible. He said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, are you born again kind? I said, yes. He said, have you spoken in tongues? I said, well, I could have spoken in Finn. I could have said, he would have, woo, you got it, man. And he might have taken a running fit. Well, I wasn't going to speak in Finn to him because there was no interpreter around. And he said, then you're not born again. I said, sir, are you telling me that the sign that a person is filled with the Spirit, that he speaks in another tongue? I said, I think the scripture teaches a better one than that. And I said, a better one than that is the Holy Spirit of God controls the one you have, not gives you another one. And boy, he cut a trail getting out of there. He was not going to get into that. But is that not the truth? It's not the fact that I can speak in another language or another tongue. It's letting the Holy Spirit of God control the tongue that I have. Because that is what James says, who is wise and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show it of good conversation, a good lifestyle, conduct, the thing that is good. So there we see in James chapter 3, and there is a very severe warning to teachers in that passage. In chapter 3 and verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brother. For you know we who teach will be judged in a greater strictness. Isn't that an interesting statement? Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged by a greater strictness. The idea there, much given, much required. So even in the teaching, even in the communication of truth, there has to be a proper accuracy that there might be able to be a high accountability. That was, in the rabbi, that was the highest calling that a person could have, is to be in the field of teaching and communicating truth. And so he goes on here and said, my brother, be not many masters. Be careful how you exercise your tongue, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man and is able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships. Though they are so large, are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member. And there's the member we named. Yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the entire body, setting on fire the entire course of life, set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father. With it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. For the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth the same opening both fresh water and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or grapevines produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so we see here the instruction regarding the tongue. So I want to address three vital powers the tongue has, and then we'll be done. Our tongue has three vital powers, and we see the five metaphors that God uses to illustrate this. Number one, the tongue has power to direct. We can give direction by the use of the tongue. And that's what the serpent did in the garden. He used words. He used speech to direct Adam and Eve away from obedience to God. We can use words to direct people into the will of God. As we are mentoring, we use words to direct people to the Lord, to direct them to the gospel, to direct them in proper counsel. Or we can use words to direct them against the truth and against the mind and the will of God. And then verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a mature man and able to bridle his whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. So metaphor number one, the power to direct, is pictured by the bit. in the mouth of a horse. A bit is a very small thing. I've never done a lot of horse riding. People with longer legs enjoy horse riding. I don't. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I guess the stirrups have never been properly adjusted. But horses have always intimidated me. But I'll see people getting them ready. Now, you're going to ride this horse. And I always hope they give me one who that's leaning against the fence, and you have to lift him off the fence so he doesn't get too wild, because I don't know how to stop, and the brakes have not worked at times when I've tried that. But the bit is in the mouth of the horse. And a little pressure here, a little pressure there, turns the entire body of that horse. So the analogy here, that tiny thing directs that horse. The second metaphor is the rudder on a ship. You go on a cruise, a massive ocean liner. And if that ocean liner were to be lifted out of the water and you could see what was directing that ocean liner, you would see a rudder. You would see two rudders that turn, that are controlled out of the bridge on that massive ocean liner. And the directions are given now through the electronic sensors to go to those, and that ship is turned away now that they have thrusters on the side. But as far as controlling in the ocean, that entire ship is controlled by something that tiny. And what James is saying here, that the tongue is a little member, a tiny, tiny thing that can bring massive destruction. And say, Lord, give me maturity so that when this little member is utilized, that it is giving direction that is a godly direction, that is a proper direction, and that it is not directing people in a wrong direction, perhaps against another individual or against the will of God or in some other way that is given there. Matthew chapter 12. Let's turn back to Matthew 12, 33 through 37. And I don't want us to miss this, because Jesus said something extremely important here. And it's one of the things that I have to always keep in mind for myself, because there's going to be great accountability for the use of words. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. And we will look there in verse 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Very convicting thought there. Because whatever is in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. For a good man out of good treasure of his heart brings good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings evil things. But I say to you that every idle word, that is, every careless word that men speak, they will give account thereof in the day of judgment. I thought to myself many times when people get on the computer and they start. I've really preaching against the thumb, not the tongue. Because it's now this, send, and they're like this. Millions and millions and millions of words every day, send, send. And the people who are doing this have no realization that every careless word is going to be brought into judgment. And boy, when I start to unwind sometimes, whoa. I realize that careless word will be brought into judgment. There'll be an accounting. For by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. So as my tongue begins to go out, I'm using my tongue now as a bit and a rudder, and it's an indication perhaps that my entire body is out of control. When that little member is out of control, perhaps the entire body is out of control, that it's time for us to get serious, to realize, oh Lord, let me use my tongue in a way that would be to your honor and to your glory. A second metaphor that is used, it says in verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So the tongue is among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the courts of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and serpents and of things in the sea tamed and had been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and wherewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. And so what is he saying? Your next metaphor is the tongue is a fire. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27 and 28, but in his lips is a burning fire who sows strife. Let's look in Proverbs 16, 27 and 28, and we see that, again, another reminder of what we need to keep in mind in accountability. Proverbs 16, verses 27 and 28. An ungodly man digs up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Isn't it interesting that Solomon used that analogy, used that metaphor for the tongue? A froward man sows strife. And note this, and a whisperer, as psh, 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 hey, a whisperer does what? Separates chief friends. Look down in verse 9 of chapter 17 of Proverbs. He that covers a transgression seeks love, but he that repeats a matter separates very friends. So there again is the destructive element that comes. And we have to be so careful. But the point is, the tongue is a fire. Now, fire in its rightful place, it's a blessing. A fire that gets out of place is very, very destructive. A little spark, a little touch. How great a matter a little fire kindleth. And when we open our mouth to speak, Lord, is this potentially destructive? Large things have been torn apart by words that have directed and words that have destroyed. And then the last two metaphors we look at, thirdly, we see the tongue has a vital power to delight. And so one, to direct, as pictured by the bit and the rudder, another to destroy, as pictured in the fire. And thirdly, the power to delight. And the two metaphors here are the fig tree and the fountain. And verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt, water, and fresh. So we have the fig tree. Can imagine what a fig tree meant to a hungry soul. The tongue of the wise is a well of life. The mouth of righteousness is a well of life, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. What a blessing to be around people who use their tongues as a delight, as an encouragement. It cost us nothing to say, I love you. It cost us nothing to say, I am praying for you. Years ago, I wrote a devotional guide for teens called Manna for Today. And I put a dozen verbal vitamins for the young people to use every day in that. I said, these are 12 verbal vitamins every day. Thank you. I love you. Will you forgive me? And so on. And use these words that should be in our verbal vitamin package every day, because we're using words to bring delight to the soul of people. I'm praying for you. What does that mean to a person who is hurting, who feels nobody cares? And yet, we can make the statement. You might see somebody is just a little bit down, and you say, hey, praying for you. It's a blessing to have you as a friend. You mean something to me. You mean a lot to me. And people think, well, I appreciate it. They didn't have to say that, but I appreciate that. And I was in the Delta Club in Detroit waiting, and I saw a guy sitting there, a big older guy, and I said, hey, how's it going? He said, great. How are you doing today? How's your day? I thought, boy, that guy's revved up. But you know what he was doing? He was using words as kind of a fig tree to feed a hungry soul, praying for strength and wisdom to go to try to lift the hands of workers and strengthen the hearts of people and to have someone come and just be cheery. Just a word of encouragement, a word of thank you. And you know, when people are taking steps of faith, as we had lunch today with our brother and sister here, as they're making a major step of faith, it's tremendous food for their soul, for us as believers, and for you as members of the church to say, we're praying for you. I appreciated Brother Holmshire's spirit, the bubbly spirit that he has, because what's he doing? He is encouraging us. God is on the throne. We share Jehovah Jireh today in a generation that has come to know only Jehovah Visa. And they already have seen Jehovah Jireh at work. Fig tree. And then a fountain to a thirsty soul. What a blessing to be able to go to a bubbling fountain to get your thirst satisfied. Very thirst that David cried, God, my soul thirsteth for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see your power and your greatness. And if you say, Lord, let me use my tongue as a fig tree to a hungry soul and as a fountain to a thirsty soul, that a word fitly spoken, like apples of gold and pictures of silver, and say, Lord, give me the maturity to use my tongue in a way that is manifesting that there is a genuineness in my heart, a genuineness in my soul, a reality that the Spirit of God is indeed in control. One of the greatest signs of the Spirit's filling in our life is the ability to have the Spirit of God control our words, control our tongues, so that we indeed can use them to delight and not to destroy and not to direct in a wrong way, but to direct in a way that is a godly way for us. And then it says, who is wise and endued with knowledge? Let him show out of a good conduct with works of meekness and wisdom. I remember we were in a revival meeting one time and an issue came up. And the pastor said, the deacons want to meet with you guys. And I had an idea of what it was about. And so I asked the pastor, it was a large staff and a large deacon board. I asked the pastor, I said, would you give me permission to read James chapter 3 before the meeting starts? And it was on a Saturday night because we were starting into the second Sunday that next morning. And he said, no, that'll be fine. And I read James chapter 3. I said, I'm not sure exactly what this meeting is about, but you have to remember who is wise and a dude of knowledge. The wisdom that is from above is pure, gentle, easy to be entreated. The wisdom that is from below is earthly, sensual, devilish, where there is envy and strife, there's confusion in every evil work. And I said, so let's keep in context our whole conversation tonight. Let's keep James 3 in context of that entire conversation tonight. And basically what we end up doing was praying, encouraging one another and dismissing the issue that they were going to meet about never came up, because it would have been envy and strife and confusion. It would have turned into every evil work, and it would have been a reflection that this wisdom was not descending from above, but it was coming from below. And so wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. For husbands and wives, parents, children, one of the things I had to really guard as a dad, and I failed in this because I reacted in an anger, not an explosive anger, but not a patient anger. And you know what? Words that cut can be forgiven. And as a dad, I learned that. Thank the Lord, my wife and I, in 51 years, we've had almost none of that. There have been times when I came close to saying a cutting thing in my impatience, but I'm thankful I have not done it. But I have with my children at times. And it's so easy to do it as brothers and sisters in Christ as well. So let's learn to let the Spirit of God control that member. And the member of this church that is most crucial is that this member is under the Spirit's control, that we can see God's good hand go from there.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on the three powers of the tongue. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.